Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
Welcome, welcome to The Entrepreneurial You podcast, where we bring insights from successful entrepreneurs, investors, and game changers to help you unleash your entrepreneurial spirit. In today's episode, my guest will walk us through his product to profit TM framework, helping service business owners transform their existing ventures into profit powerhouses. We'll delve into his journey from building a seven-figure tech-enabled fitness business to the rapid success of Alan, A-L-A-N, the machine learning SaaS company. This is the episode for you if you're an ambitious founder looking to turn your dreams into reality. But before we bring him on, of course, we need to pay the bills. Let's hear from the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Today, we have a true powerhouse who is a versatile entrepreneur, investor, consultant, and podcast host. From raising over $325 million for his investment company by age 25 to overseeing the growth of a machine learning SaaS company from zero to 20 million ARR in just 6 months, he's here to share his experience. Get ready, get ready, get ready to uncover the profits hidden inside your business. Welcome, Tim Kalis.
Oh, thank you so much. That was very kind of you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Awesome. And it's really nice to have you, right? Before we dive into the serious stuff, and we're going to get there, let's lighten the mood a bit. If you could have any superpower for 24 hours, what would it be and why?
Oh, superpower for 24 hours. Probably persuasion would be my superpower. And I would use it for good to try to help people understand just how much power they have within them.
What's your story? And by what's your story, I mean, if somebody asks you, which I'm doing now, what has been your life like? You know, what are some of the experiences you've had? How would you define your journey? What's your story?
Yeah, so I started as a young kid who just wanted to be like his dad. My father was in the professional investment management service in financial services, and I wanted to kind of follow in his footsteps. However, I knew that I was wired differently. He had more of the kind of gladiator mentality of kind of going and conquering the world and things like that. And I always had more of a softer side inside of me. And so I think I married the idea of, I love money, I like finance, I like investing, I like that kind of creative value exchange. But I married it with this true desire to help other people realize the dreams that they have. And so I went to college, studied economics. And out of college, I joined a very, very small investment company, and I was able to kind of bring my entrepreneurial view of the world to a very established industry, and was able to be very successful kind of very early on by raising, you know, over $325 million before the age of 25. That gave me a lot of reassurance to then go and see the world as just opportunity. And I took those life lessons and went out and founded multiple companies since then. And now I dedicate my time towards helping entrepreneurs realize the dreams that they have in and around their own businesses.
Well, you said that so casually. You know, I was able to raise $325 million by the age of 25, before the age of 25. So casual. Let's talk a little about, let's stick there for a minute. How did you go about it? What did, you know, where did you start? What was it you were presenting to investors? How were you reaching out to investors? Let's get into that.
Yeah. At the time, I will say I wasn't as aware as I am right now about why I was able to do what I did. At the time, it was mostly, I was just naive from the standpoint of saying I was young, but I was really hungry. And nobody told me that I couldn't do it. So I kind of went out and did what I thought was right. And what I mean by that, and what I had mentioned a minute ago, that the kind of the hedge fund world, the, you know, kind of financial services world is really, it's kind of an established industry. Hedge funds at the time, which were effectively kind of the hot area of that market in the kind of mid-2000s, was where all the smartest people were heading, and it's where all the money was starting to flow. And as a young person at that time, because you had all these hotshot Wall Street investors moving into this market, they led with their egos. So these very successful people would leave a big bank and go out on their own, and they would go out to investors and say, "You should be lucky to give me your money because I'm so good at what I do." And as someone who was new to the scene, I didn't understand why that resonated with people. And so we did the exact opposite. I said, instead of being, "You should be thanking me for taking your money," I said, "We are going to be a company where you never have to worry about whether your money is safe and whether you are going to continue to build it over time. We will never lose your money." And that is the promise that we made. And at the time, I thought it was a good idea. It was just instinctual inside of me. But what that allowed me to do was to really connect with investors, smaller investors in the beginning, and then over the course of time, become very attractive to very large investors because they actually like the idea of security and low risk and things like that. And so I use a lot of those principles even today in how we go ahead and build businesses, is how can we do it in the lowest risk way possible?
Mm-hmm. You were young, so you just thought you could do it. What is it about the fact that the older we get, the more hesitant we are to take risks? You know, we become more risk averse. Why is that? Why do you think that is, Tim?
I think it's because we have preconceived notions of what should work. And so I've founded multiple companies in different industries. And the perspective I take right now is if I'm building a new product or a new service, if I go back 20 years, I would say, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to design the product, maybe I'll even raise some money to build it, and then I'm going to take it to market. That is rooted in the idea that I know best and that I know what the market wants. How we build products and services today is we have an idea and we believe we know the audience that would benefit the most from that product or service. We then go out to those people before we've built anything. And I would say, you know, "Hey, my name's Tim. I am thinking about building a product that does X, Y, and Z, and it would give you the result of ABC. If I built something like that, would that be of interest to you? Is that something you would buy?" And you might say yes, you might say no, you might say, "Well, it has this thing, this part that I don't really value, but it's missing this other part that I really would value." If I collect all that information and then go and build the product that the market wants, then I've reduced the risk of making a misstep. And I think so often right now is we want to be proven right more than we want to do the thing that is actually going to work out in the market. And so we become more skeptical because we try to push things into the market. And when the market doesn't accept it, we take that as a personal defeat instead of us being kind of more exploratory in and trying to understand things before we go ahead and build them ahead of time.
And you've had obviously, you know, significant success building a seven-figure tech-enabled fitness business, you know, with your wife and so on, the growth of Alan. What I'd love to hear from you is that product to profit framework, Tim, that you're obviously a master at. Take us through, how do we have an idea? We have not just the idea, we've now gotten it to a product state. So we've moved from ideation into an actual product, you know, a minimum viable product even. how do we now get to profit from that? What's that framework that you have? And, you know, how can my entrepreneurs who are listening benefit from that?
One leverage point that we can all agree will help us grow faster is if we can recoup our cost of acquisition at the time of first somebody purchasing our product or service. So the concept is, and so often you can have a high ticket program, you can have a low ticket program, it really doesn't matter. What matters is we create a product, a journey for people to go through that allows us to liquidate our acquisition cost, to get repaid for this ad spend or the commissions or however you acquire a customer at the time that they first purchase. And this is generally a radical idea for some because they will say, well, I am going to charge $10,000 over the course of a year, but that first month they might only collect, you know, $500. Well, a lot of people I find are spending $2,000 to acquire a customer thinking, well, I'll get the money back because the total spend is $10,000. But you have to go for 4 months before you get your money back, which means you're always capital constrained. So we turn acquisition from an expense to a profit center. And if you can do that, you get paid to grow your audience. And it is my belief that the hardest part of anything is to get that first purchase. To earn the trust of a customer is the hardest part. And if we can do that profitably, we will have a very high likelihood of being able to build a very successful business over time.
Mm-hmm. From expense to profit center. Let's camp out there for a little bit, Tim, because I know that's, you know, that's what many of my listeners would want to know. I want to know. Yeah. Take us through that journey.
Yeah. So
what are the things to be considered?
Yeah. So let's just think about a very common thing that I come across, which is, you know, folks run paid ads, say Facebook ads. You spend $1,000 on Facebook ads. You'll get, let's just say, 100 leads from that $1,000 spend. And of the 100 leads, you might get 5 buyers out of the 100. Let's just use that as an example. So you spent $1,000 to get 5 people to buy. Okay, so far, so good. So that means our cost of acquisition to acquire those 5 customers is $200. So the question I would ask is, what needs to be true in our product that they buy that makes it very easy for them to spend at least $200? Because most people, let's just say we only had a $10,000 product. It gets really, really hard for us to convert interest to cold traffic with a high ticket program. So we have to just basically build a product that is worth $200 or more as a first step to being engaged with us. And I work primarily in recurring revenue. So it's subscriptions, memberships, things like that. And a lot of those businesses really struggle with having a product that they can sell somebody on the front end. They only have their core offer. So we build a specific offer just for acquisition from paid ads. So I might have a $10,000 coaching program, but we'll build a $497 offer just for those people so that we know we can acquire those customers.
Interesting. So let's go a little bit into your tech-enabled fitness business. Tell us about that. When did it begin and what is it that you do?
Yeah. So we learned some lessons. So we were in the fitness industry and a lot of these things, these principles that we deploy today, we learned in fitness. So when I started in 2010 in the fitness industry, the most common offer for new members was a free trial. So go back a minute ago, we were kind of walking through how do we run paid ads. If I ran paid ads and it cost me $50 to get somebody to come in and take a free trial, I've spent $50 and I haven't acquired any revenue yet. And of all the free trials, they run for say 14 to 30 days. And then hopefully somebody signs up after that. So I might spend $50 today and I might not get that $50 back for 30, 60, 90 days into the future. It's the reason why, and you'll know if you have this company, if you're making sales and never have money left at the end of the month, chances are you have this problem. So what we did in our fitness business is we instituted a high ticket front end offer. So instead of a free offer, we charged $600 for 6 weeks in our facility, in our gyms. This is how we built Gym Launch, which was the follow-on to this. They own the intellectual property to this. But we implemented a $600 6-week paid transformation challenge. And what that allowed us to do was to spend the $50. And then on day one, we would make $600. Because then I can take the $600, I can take $50 of it and repay myself. I can take another $50 and acquire the next person. And now I have $500 to deliver an exceptional experience to that member over those next 6 weeks, which increased our conversion into a long-term member. So let's use this there's lots of examples of this. I have a home services industry, business that I work with. So they do they cut lawns and, things like that. So they have an offer, which is like a cleanup offer. So instead of, hey, do you want me to cut your lawn and trim your trees from now till forever? They say for $49, $97, $297, we will do a full yard and home maintenance cleanup. It's a one-time sale, but the only job it's supposed to do is to allow them to run paid ads because it costs them about $100 to acquire a new customer. And those $100 customers pay $297 for their first cleanup. So we can turn that acquisition, that $100 spend, into $300 pretty quickly. And we've earned the right to earn their trust over time. And the upsell on the back end is then, do you want me to come back next week? And I'll do the same thing again.
That seems like a very solid strategy. I want to look at the growth of Allen, right? Which is your machine learning SaaS company. You've taken it from zero to 20 million ARR in 6 months, right? Which is very incredible. What were the specific strategies behind this success? I just kind of break down, what you mean by Alan and ARR and all of that. Yeah.
So I was a partner alongside a husband and wife, Alex and Layla Hormozi, who a lot of people know from YouTube and other things. They run a company called acquisition.com. So we ran our core company was a company called Gym Launch. We built that from Alex and Layla built that from zero to $30 million a year in revenue in about 2 years. And they helped gym owners make more money. That was the principal promise. And as a service business, one of the challenges of that business was working leads. So you run an ad, you have a landing page, you run a lead magnet of something, you get somebody to opt in. From that point to actually having a sales appointment was a very difficult process for gym owners. About 1 in 8 leads would ever actually show up in a gym to have a conversation of whether they even wanted to join. So the problem we solved was we got more leads to show. That was the promise. And instead of trying to market to people who's one at a time, we used partnerships and joint ventures, really affiliates, to help distribute our product. And our product was this machine that got more leads to show. It used text messaging to get leads to show up for a sale, to get booked in to show up for a sales appointment. In the beginning, we said, well, who has, we have our own clients, we have our own gyms that we could sell to, but who else could take advantage of this? And very quickly, we thought about marketing agencies, because marketing agencies run Facebook ads, like social media marketing agencies. They run Facebook ads and they get leads. So we went to a few hand-selected marketing agencies and we said, instead of advertising that you can help your customers get leads, you can do what nobody else can do, which is you can market that you will get them shows. You will get people to show up to a sales appointment. And it changed the marketing industry really forever, because the idea was instead of just getting leads, which nobody needs more leads, they need more shows. They want more sales appointments. And we were able to offer that. So we signed up 7 marketing agencies in the first 3 months. And those 7 marketing agencies represented enough gyms, chiropractors, dentists, other services for us to generate over $750,000 a month in revenue. So each one would generate about $100,000 in sales for us out of the gate.
Was there any skepticism regarding this initially?
A ton.
I imagine so.
Yeah. But what we did was we were our first client. So we had Allen, which was a software company. We signed up gyms that were members of our Gym Launch community. And we refined the model before we actually took it and actually went out and sold it. So we kept it as an internal product for a little while to refine the technology. And once we felt very confident that we could do that, then it moved into, we went out to other folks. And I will mention here, our gyms were hit very hard by COVID in 2020. Alan was in the business of getting a gym, potential gym member, to walk through the doors of a physical gym facility. That is how we built it. And when we went to market January 1st of 2020. So when COVID hit, we had to change the model from walking into a fitness facility to getting onto a Zoom call, because all gyms went online effectively. And that unlocked our big growth. Because if we could get somebody sitting at home to get on a Zoom call for a sales appointment, we realized we were not just limited to gyms. So then we went to chiropractors and dentists and med spas and a bunch of other industries. So Alan worked in about 30 different industries before it was sold. We sold it off about 2 years ago.
Amazing. Fantastic. Just super exciting stuff that you're doing and you've done, Tim. Now, there is an ambitious founder that is listening right now and they're dreaming big and they want their dreams be turned into reality. With all the expertise and success and experience that you have, give a word of encouragement to this founder.
Yeah. So if you have not started yet, take your idea and think, who will be best served by the idea that I have? Let's just say it's a service. Think very clearly about what problem you solve, who you solve it for, and what change in the identity of that person you will help make happen. That is the first thing. So I just want to kind of unpack that for a second. So you can say, I help service business owners between $250,000 a year in revenue up to $3 million a year in revenue make more money without added complexity in their business so that they can have more time to spend time with the people that they love. That is the promise that I make. The reason why that's important is because I want to know who I help, I want to know how I help them, and I want to know what that means for them. Because at the end of the day, we're delivering somebody to a better state than they're in today. So that's the first step. Before you go and build anything, go on Facebook, go on LinkedIn, go on any of the social media platforms, you can pretty much find those people. And I would go to them and say, hi, my name's Tim. I'm thinking about creating a six-week Uncover Your Profit program, and it helps folks like yourself make more money for every hour you spend working in your business. It's going to be $497 and it's going to be a course with support. If I built something like that, would that be of interest to you? And I haven't built it yet. And if they say yes, I'm going to get a small group of about 10 people to work with on this product. So it's $497. I'll have the group all arranged and we're going to kick off in 10 days. And they might say, great. Do you want to pay your $497 by credit card or check? Take the money and then build the product. So what I would encourage you to do, just in summary, is to have an idea. Think about who can most benefit. Go out to those people and make an offer. And your goal here, I'm going to give you permission because this is the thing where everybody gets tripped up. I'm going to give you the assignment to try to get 100 people to say no.
Ah, I know that mental thing you're coming with, right? Because, yeah, so once we've gotten that out of the way, yeah.
And here's the trick, because so many people are like, I hear like, today I should just try to get 5 no's. If you try to get 5 no's on a product that you've invested 6 months of your blood, sweat, and tears and money into, you are going to feel like a failure. If you get 5 no's today on an idea that you haven't spent any other money or time thinking about, other than, you know, you haven't spent all of that time and money, all you're trying to do is explore to get to the right answer. So the no's are important, but they're important before you've made the investment. We watch Shark Tank a lot in our family, the show here in the US.
Yes, I love it.
Imagine if you go on to Shark Tank and you've seen those people. I've put $750,000 of my family's money and 3 years in development of this product. And if the market says, I don't like the product, that business owner, that entrepreneur is going to feel like they failed. Conversely, think about it this way. I think of ideas are inexpensive and they're generally very caught a fall, right? I thought this morning I had an idea and by 3 hours later, I went out to the market and I said, hey, I have an idea. It's going to work like this. What do you think? And if I get a bunch of no's, I'm like, great, why did you say no? And you might say, oh, it's because it's too expensive, or it's not the right fit for me, or it doesn't have this critical piece to it. You'll see trends, but you haven't invested yet. They're not saying no to you. You're seeking to explore the idea. And that is the big difference. So you have to do it before you invest your identity into the product or service.
Amazing, Tim. Thank you so much for that. And with that, I ask you now to share just your final parting words, as well as how might my listeners get in touch with you?
I think my final words would be, if you have an idea, test it, fail fast, get the no's. Transformations don't happen in isolation. And what I mean by that, and what it's meant for me, is I try to seek out people who can see the things both in me and in what I'm trying to do that I can't see for myself. And so try to actively find people who can give you objective guidance and to help give you the encouragement and confidence as you're going through this process. And so I'm here to help you in any way I can. You can find me on all the social platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. I'm Tim Calise, C-A-L-I-S-E. And if there's, I monitor my own DMs. So if there's anything I can do, anything that resonated with you, feel free to reach out and I will lend a hand as best I can.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much, Tim Calise, for sharing such valuable insights on uncovering hidden profits and scaling businesses. That's what essentially you shared. And as you pointed out towards the end, you know, that idea, how you take that idea, move from idea stage to making your business profitable. And so we appreciate it. I know that my listeners are walking away with tangible things that they can actually do today to consider, you know, growth for their business. So, of course, to our listeners, we invite you to just check out, you know, Tim. He shared his information, how you might reach him to get more wisdom from him. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Entrepreneur New Podcast. Now, if you're an aspiring podcaster or a busy entrepreneur expert looking to start your own show, then guess what? We've got you covered. The Entrepreneurial You Media has got you covered. Podcast production services take the hassle out of creating your podcast. So all you have to do is pretty much show up and share your amazing content if you're doing interviews. So from editing to distribution, trust me, we handle it all. Visit HenikaWatkinsPorter.com to learn more about how we can help you bring your podcast to life. Just send me a message on WhatsApp. So the WhatsApp icon is on the page and we take it from there. Remember, your voice is unique and the world is awaiting to have your story. So don't let the fear of production hold you back. No, man, let's do it for you. Let's handle all of that details. Until next time, keep shining and sharing your brilliance with the world. Reach out at Heniko@HenikaWatkinsPorter.com, or if you're a social media person, just go right there and find me. That's where I'm at. Affirm with me as I say goodbye for today. As I embark on my journey, I welcome the wisdom that unfolds. My purpose is to absorb knowledge and contribute valuable insights to the life of others, even as I am uplifting my own self. Do take care.